If you can't, that's okay as well. Either way, take your Bibles and let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's our third reading in this passage. We want to try to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago and see what this passage says to us. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is God's word for us this morning. And here's what God says. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. You may be seated. Thank you, Father, for your word. For there is no word like your word. Every word of yours is true. And yet it's not just an old truth that's outdated. It's an eternal truth that is always pertinent to us. And it's a living truth that it's able to do a work in us by your Spirit to perform or to bring about the very things that it gives us instructions concerning. And so help us to worship you, to continue our worship of you this morning, not just through our singing and through our prayers, but now how we participate in your preached word. May you take pleasure, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 3 weeks ago, we did our first reading in the verses that I just read. We looked at the role of an elder by way of introduction. And then 2 weeks ago, we began to look more carefully at the flow of these verses to consider some of the qualifications for an elder. And now this morning, we want to continue looking at some of the qualifications for an elder by specifically honing in on verses 4 and 5. We want to narrow our look on the matter of elder qualifications by looking at the role that life in a home plays in preparing a man to serve as an elder. On the one hand, this passage is talking about the office of elder, the work of an overseer or pastor. On the other hand, it's listing some of the qualifying traits that are necessary to be present in the man who would qualify as an elder. And what is said here in verses 4 and 5 about the home is pertinent not only for elders and not only for those who aspire to be elders. In other words, just like what we said 2 weeks ago about these other qualifications. What is said here has relevance for every man. All men who have a family or who hope to have a family would want to learn from the standard stated here. The traits and the qualities that we've looked at previously from verses 1 through 7. And now the qualities that are put forward in terms of home life should be sought and should be cultivated by every man. So in a sense, we're talking about how a man who aspires to be an elder should function in the church and by way of analogy in the home. And yet, on the other hand, what he's laying down for us is a very basic description of how men should function in the home. They are to be managers who care for their family. I think it was about 30 years ago. Some of you won't remember this because you weren't around then, but others of you will remember. About 30 years ago, a famous politician wrote a book entitled, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. And my fear is that the book was more about how a village idiot would raise a child, or the village clown. But I get the point of that, there is a community aspect to life and a civilization aspect to life, and yet perhaps a better starting point would be to say it takes a family to create a village. It takes a series of families, and the health of that village is tied to the healthiness of those homes that are comprising that village. And the press it further, and the faithfulness of the husbands and fathers in those homes is what forges homes to be great places where good civilizations, good villages could be formed. And so what I want to look at this morning is just taking a cue from verses 4 and 5. If someone, that he must, verse 4, he must manage his own household well. And then he amplifies that. What does that management look like? Well, he connects that with how will he care for God's church if he's not managing his own household well? So this management of household is coupled with caring well for his household. It is required of every husband and father that they manage their own household well. This is not, well, I don't want to be an elder, don't aspire to be an elder, and so this passage is irrelevant to me. No, you've missed the point. Are you a husband and a father?
Well, I guess so.
Man up! Yeah. Well, then you are required to do a good job at managing your household. Men, you and I were wired to be on a mission. Here's a central feature to our mission. Our mission is to manage our families. And we're to do that well. We're to strive to be good at it. That we are to stand at our post faithfully. Not with harshness. Not with negligence, not even with incompetence. So what I want to do for a few moments is maybe entertain three elements. Maybe there's more, but these will get us started. Three elements of what good household management consists of. First, household management starts with focused engagement. Men, when it comes to our roles and obligations in the home, we must not be distracted. You got a household, you have an assignment. You have a family, you have a mission. And that household, that family, must have our focus and must have our active engagement. We must focus on the task at hand. We must engage in the work of the household. We cannot be distracted. We cannot be distracted by our work. And that's a tricky one, because a part of being a household manager is that we will work, that we will be, in fact, hardworking. But providing through our work, our jobs, is, while it's a must, it is not the sole function of household management. Let me make that clear, because this seems to be a typical guy thing. He says, now look, I work hard and I bring home a check and that's how I provide for my family. Well, praise God that you do that much. That's waning in our culture if you're paying attention. So praise God that you're doing that. But simply going to a job and bringing a paycheck home is not what it means to be focused upon and engaged in the management of your household. It's a part of it, but it's not the complete package. We could be so focused upon our work, even under the alleged excuse of I'm doing this for my family, that you are ignoring your family. You're not engaged in household management. Household management assumes attentiveness to the household. We cannot manage our household as the scriptures direct us to while we are aloof or cold or distant toward our family. That's called mismanagement. But we could be distracted not only by our work, but we could be distracted because, well, we've never grown up enough to know the balance between our hobbies and our toys and our leisures. Those things are not sinful in and of themselves, but we need to have the wisdom to know how to properly balance those outlets in life. We say, well, how would I know if I'm properly balancing my toys and my hobbies and my leisure? You don't want me to tell you how you could know that. Do you? You want me to tell you? Ask your wife. Anyway, let's move on. Second, household management starts with focused engagement. Household management includes the work of assessing and implementing. Managers assess. Managers implement. Failure to assess and failure to implement is negligence, managerial negligence. And yet here's the rub. The work of assessment and the work of implementation requires a knowledge of the standard by which we assess and a knowledge of the instructions through which we implement. Failure to know the standard, failure to know the rule, is managerial incompetence. Men, what will be the standard? What are you aiming for as you manage your family? What you're raising your children, you're loving your wife, but to what end? What do you aspire to see unfolded in the life of your wife and then in the life of your children? And there are many good aspects to that standard. But you could do the good aspects and miss the best aspect. For instance, you may want your children to be academically excellent, You want to be that guy who drives around with the bumper sticker that my child is on the honor roll. Which I always personally preferred the bumper sticker that said, my child beats up your honor roll student. But anyway, but that's not a good standard. I don't know why I would say that. So that's not true. That's not completely true. Men, fathers, do you have a standard such as given to us in 3 John chapter 4, where he writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I hope that your kids do well academically. In a sense, that could be a part of what it just means to be faithful where you're at. If you're a student, you should be faithfully a student. I hope that your kids do well academically. I hope that they, as a result of that, they are able to get a great job. I hope that that turns out well for them. That's a good and noble thing as well. And yet, as assessors and implementers, we must have as a part of our strategic plans as managing the household that we want our children to know Jesus, to love the Lord Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want whatever their academic pursuits are, we want whatever their vocational directions are, we want that to be subservient to loving the Lord God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we, as household managers, would assess and implement in light of what would promote an understanding of the gospel and what would promote the ability to walk in the ways of the Lord our God. Household managers assess and implement. We cannot take a hands-off approach, but we must have an earnest consideration of what is needed for things to be better so that our household is a lover of Jesus household and a commitment to pursue the pathway of betterment, that we would implement the strategies and the plans and the methods and the procedures so that we are raising our children, raising our household to be wholly given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. A third element of managing the household well is not only a focused engagement, not only an assessing and an implementing, but household management also involves providing and protecting. Household managers provide for their household. Household managers protect their household. Now, I don't want to leapfrog past the most obvious point of that because our culture has tragically lost even this point. But on the one hand, I would simply mean that to provide and protect would be to do that materially and physically. But once we have a category for that, okay, I'm a man, right? Yeah, that's what I think you are. Yeah. Then I'm going to protect and provide for the material needs, the physical needs of my family. Great, got that down, check mark. What's next? Great, glad you asked. It's not limited to material or physical provision and protection. Household management that the scriptures speak of is not just taking care of bodily concerns, but taking care of heart and soul concerns. Providing for the mind and the emotion, protecting the mind and the emotions. It revolves around taking care of people, not just taking care of the physical aspect of people, although it does include that, but by taking care of the spiritual and emotional and relational aspects of your household. You want to protect your daughter from any physical harm. But before that, perhaps even you should understand that you want to protect your daughter's heart to be pulled away by some knuckleheaded thug. Because there's a lot of those. You can't be so busy at work that you're neglecting the heart of your children. So yes, we protect and we provide, which means that we probably get up and go to work in our pajamas in the basement or whatever, you know, nowadays, you know. But it also means that you have your pulse on the heart and soul condition of your family, and you are moving in toward that to provide for that and to protect that. You say, now, Joe, you're laying it on us. This is a lot of work. Let me just do a sidebar here for a second. Yeah, it's a lot of work. Do you see why it might just be better to still be 35 living in the basement with your mom and dad? You understand why that's on the rise? People today are looking at how hard it is to be married and have a family. And you know what they're concluding? I don't want to get married and have a family. Which is going to have tragic effects on the village. Let alone tragic effects on the church. Yes, it's a hard work. It's a hard work because our role is to not be the blame shifter, but to borrow a line from President Truman, the buck stopper. You see, sometimes we do have faulty notions of what it means to be the man. The man's the boss, he's in charge. And that's a worldly distorted view of what the scripture paints in terms of our role as household managers. Our role is not one of special privileges as managers, but one in which we are first to shoulder the burden as the manager. If someone must be inconvenienced in the household, assume that the higher up the flowchart you go, it's the first in line to be inconvenienced. That's why we call ourselves adults. Somebody's got to be the adult in that household. It's always best for the adults to be the adults in the household, that they would be the ones who would shoulder the burden, that they would be the ones who have to be the first to consider how they will need to be inconvenienced. We would use our managerial position not to domineer and to be lord over, but that we would be the chief exemplar officer. Different take on CEO. We would lead by example, and that our example in leading would be not to position ourselves to be served, but to position ourselves to serve. Yeah, that's a lot. And I would say a couple of things about this in regard to that. And that is, first, I would remind us men that God has given you a helpmate. She, in so many ways of describing it, because here in 1 Timothy 3, men are called to manage their own household. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, women are described as household managers. I would suggest what that means is that men and women have a combined co-role, can't say those two words together, as co-managers, if you watch The Office, maybe, I don't know, if not quite assistant to the manager, but assistant manager, I don't know how you would frame it, but in other words, you have someone living in your household who is specifically designed and suited, who is to have the same devotion that you do, that in you having a devotion to your wife, she has a devotion to you and to the good of that household. And she is to be brought into the aspects of managing the home, for she is God's provision to you. She is your helpmate. She is the one who has strengths and perspectives and skills and insights that you don't have and that you seriously need from her to manage well in the work of being the household manager. Now, what that doesn't mean, if I could say just a word to the ladies for a second here. As the co-manager, or assistant to the manager, or assistant manager, whatever you want to say it. Please do not feel the leading of the Holy Spirit to re-preach this sermon before 1 o'clock today. After 1:15, all bets are off, but don't do it before 1 o'clock. Let's get him fed first. And then while he naps, you go ahead and preach that sermon. Don't rib. You say, but if I want to help. Good. So be someone that he is drawn to consult. Don't be someone that makes it hard to want to consult. For you have a vital role, ladies. Let me go on. He says here, I'm going to circle back around even in terms of assessment and implementation. I think we can expand on that. He must manage his own household well. And it says, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. With all dignity. That's an interesting descriptor there. I would suggest to you that he's saying to men that we are to manage our household in a way that attracts dignity or respect, might even be a better word here, or that deserves dignity or respect. We are to manage the household in a way that everybody else in the household finds they're more apt or more inclined to show dignity to the office of manager, if you would, or to respect the role of father and husband. In that sense, all of the other qualifications mentioned in verses 2 and 3 and beyond coalesce here in the home. In the home, we are to be men who are sober-minded and self-controlled and respectable and hospitable and able to teach and not drunkards and not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. All of that gets expressed and worked out, not just in church life, but in home life. It's really where we first get to play out those sort of character qualities. And when we live that way, and when we parent and husband that way, then I would suggest to you that we're complying with the direction to manage the household in a way that attracts or deserves dignity or respect. Oh, sure, you could say, y'all better respect me. And you just let me know how well that's working for you. That's not how it works. So it's not about cracking the whip. We in a way that attracts and deserves respect, we want to teach our children to be submissive. Now, that's not anything out of the ordinary. And we can go all the way back to Exodus 20, where we are told that children are to honor their parents. We could go over to what Paul says in Ephesians 6, as well as in Colossians, that children are to obey their parents. But parents, dads, how are you going to aim for that assignment? You have been given children so that you would raise children to be respectable and submissive and obedient children. Now, I get that on the one hand, you don't have ultimate control over the outcome of that. But I do get on the front end, you and I have great agency and responsibility to aim for that. So how do you strive to parent children who will be obedient children? Knowing that on the one hand, it's the outcome of that is outside of your control. But as much as it depends upon you, that you are aiming your parental role in such a way that you want your children to honor the Lord by living a certain kind of life. Well, my God, you just cracked the whip. You let me know how that's working for you. If you want your children to hate you, you just go right on ahead. And by the way, you tell them they better respect you as well. And you will do what Ephesians tells fathers not to do, exasperate your children. How do we strive, as much as it depends upon us, to raise children who will be submissive or obedient children? It starts with our heart toward our children, a heart orientation that is loyal to our children, that is engaged in the lives of our children, that shows evidence that we deeply care for our children, that displays great affection for our children, that is committed to much self-sacrifice for the sake of our children. And in that contextual environment of caring and loyalty and affection and self-sacrifice, it is in that context that dads have to instruct and teach, that dads have to warn and admonish, that dads have to correct and rebuke, that dads have to reward and discipline, that dads have to command and exhort. But you can't leave out the environment. You can't just get great. I just yell instructions and they do get right to it, right? Is that what you told me? Let's start over again. How do we parent our children in a way that attracts and deserves respect in such a fashion that it is more inclining of our children to see the warrant to be submissive and obedient children, out of a heart orientation of loyalty, care, affection, and self-sacrifice, we instruct and teach, we warn and admonish, we correct and rebuke, we reward and we discipline, we command and we exhort. That's called caring for the household. So, being a father and a husband, as the household manager, requires that you provide and protect and oversee and manage and mediate and reconcile and teach and train and mold and explain and correct, and you do all of that within the first hour. And then what do you do the next hour? Repeat. And every hour subsequent to that, you take the basic blocking and tackling, and that is the mission. Day in, day out, hour in, hour out, week in, week out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, and hopefully after a few decades, it's just about wrapped up. But in the meantime, while it's just a day, it's an hourly process, it feels like it's millennium. We are never at a place where we could shrug off the role of being a household manager. I guess maybe the best way to wrap this up is to state this. As the husband and as the father, doing the work of a household manager, we are the head of the house. But you understand, being the head of the house is not a choice. It's a statement of fact. The only choice in this is what kind of head will we be? Will we be an engaged, faithful, stand at the post and do the work and carry out the mission head? Or will we be, there's a host of, will we be harsh and domineering and a jerk? Or will we be AWOL and negligent? Or will we be incompetent and inept? Or to frame it in the way the scripture does, will we be a head much like the first man, Adam? Or will we be a head like the last man, Christ? He is the head of his family, the church. And as the head of his family, he laid down his life. But that gives you and I as men not just an example. That gives you and I as men our hope. For when Christ laid down his life for his family, through faith in Jesus, you are now a part of his family. And everything that he requires from us, every nook and cranny of being the household manager of our homes, all of the obligations and roles that are entailed in that, he gives us none of those obligations and duties without giving us all of the grace, the enablement, and the empowerment to carry those roles out. Every man in Christ Jesus must be the manager of his household. Every man in Christ Jesus has everything he needs to be the manager of his household. So thank you, Father, for Jesus. that we might live among our families because of the grace that you provide in a way that gives glory to you. Oh, Father, help us to do just that. Help us as men. And even help these dear ladies as they are co-laborers in this work. We thank you for the wives that you've given to us and for the great skills and specialties, particularly in the area of relationships. Father, may we see that as just one of the beautiful gifts that you've given to us to carry out the work that you've assigned us as managers of our homes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.